From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows. Hey there, children of the night. Welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toes, Bob, and alongside of me, this time I'm actually going to give him the credit that he deserves. My filling co-host for the past few weeks, my dear friend, my podcast mentor, the co-host of Ghostly Podcast, Pat.
Girls to girls, they love me. I'm the heavyweight lover, P-A-T.
How long have you been working on that?
About 30 years now.
Is this the first time you've ever had that you've ever got to use it?
On air, yeah.
That's pretty good. How have you been?
But Pat? I use it with the ladies sometimes, just so, you know, we're clear.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
How have you been, Pat?
Ah, man, I've been good. How have you been?
Oh, I'm alive and kicking, I suppose.
Well, that is really good.
Yeah, you know, we're underneath kind of a full moon at the moment, and I'm trying to soak in all of that energy. It's definitely during the Libra air sign, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you're a little bit removed from that stuff, but you can appreciate a good full moon from an from a heavenly body staring, you know.
I used to be in a coven,
and right, yes.
I used to celebrate the full moons.
So. All right, so I wanted to do something a little different that I normally do with my other co-hosts, but because I'm without them currently, I've got you, so I want to do this. I want your weekend update. I want to know what you've been up to, and because we're under lockdown, probably not much of anything, but have you watched anything good on TV? Let's get a Pat update.
Oh, man. Are you sure you want this? Because I've been busy, actually.
Yeah, of course.
I've been recording podcasts. I did one that we're calling Fumbling Dice on Memoriam Incubator, which is us playing Dungeons & Dragons as characters from, like, TV shows or movies. And I was Little Orphan Annie. Of course, right?
Did you decide that yourself?
Yeah. And man, she can kick some butt, let me tell you. I've been getting caught up on Better Call Saul.
Have you?
I don't know if you're
that?
A fan. Yeah.
I saw Breaking Bad. I never saw that, though.
Oh, it's getting really interesting now. Also, I binge watched the Tiger King thing in one sitting. So,
how'd you enjoy it? Because I hear that is a wild ride.
It is a wild ride, but now I get all the jokes and I get all the references.
That's good.
So that's the only reason why I did it. Man, how have you been? What have you been up to?
To be completely honest, not a whole lot of anything. Lockdown has been keeping me pretty much on lockdown, working on Bob After Dark full time these days, which is, you know, good and bad.
It's always good.
It's a good thing. I shouldn't say it's a bad thing, but I've been working on Bob After Dark full time, and I partook in one of my outside hobbies outside the paranormal.
Oh yeah, what's that?
Professional wrestling.
Ooh, okay. You know
WrestleMania
what?
WrestleMania weekend.
I was watching. I watched the second day.
Yeah, that was my weekend, and now that that's behind me, now it's back to Bob After Dark and the paranormal full time and all of that good stuff. So moving on, if this is your first time ever watching us on Bob After Dark, our live stream show, make sure you click that share button at the bottom and make sure you spam the feed with the heart emojis. But if you share this with your friends, then more people could watch it and get your watch parties going. That'd be great. If you're listening to us in podcast land, specifically, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, make sure you leave us a 5-star review. I read them all the time, and I really appreciate when I get to see those 5-star reviews. Don't leave me anything less than a 5, or Pat will come and find you.
Why me? Why you make me the bad guy all the time?
You're the new muscle on Bob After Dark since Steve's in quarantine.
Okay, I'll take it.
And then real quick, Pat, so we can get the plugs out of the way, tell the folks at home, because you've been on a while now, but tell the folks at home what you're up to with your podcast stuff, and we can move right into the show.
Well, Ghostly had Microclimates on, and I thank you very much for being a part of it.
It was
and
such a good episode. It turned out great.
It
not
did.
Because I was on it, but it was
hilarious. Oh, you were awesome on it. And it was our first time that we actually did video of us doing the episode. So that was inspired by Bob After Dark.
Oh.
Yeah. So our next episode comes out next Wednesday, and it will be about Jack the Ripper. Have you ever heard of him?
I have, actually. And I'm so excited you're doing that episode and that topic, because there's a really fine line, I feel, between true crime podcasters and paranormal podcasters. We exist kind of in the same universe, but not really. Like, we hang out on weekends. We drink together and we bowl together, but we're on separate teams.
Yeah, so, well, we have the cooler shirts, too.
Yes. We hang out. We bowl in the same bowling league, basically, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's really cool because, like, there's certain stories that have a really interesting, like, parallel. And Jack the Ripper is definitely one of those handful of stories where I feel like you can be a paranormal podcast and talk about it without crossing that line. And I feel like it's the other way around too. True crime podcasts could talk about Jack the Ripper. And because I know you are such a history nut and
Rebecca's I love it.
And I know Rebecca's good at telling the stories and stuff. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm going to go on a whim and say, it's going to be my favorite episode you guys are ever going to do.
Yeah, well, we have a lot coming out. So even if that is your favorite, it doesn't mean the next one won't be.
Every new episode is my favorite episode of Ghostly.
Easter Island disaster?
The Easter Island disaster. No, the Easter Island massacre.
Yeah, the Easter Island massacre. Yeah.
Jeez, I'll never live that down. You know, one day I'm actually going to visit Easter Island, right? Someday I'm going to get picked up by some big TV execs and they're going to send me out there. And I'm going to go up to like one of the tribesmen and be like, I'm really sorry to hear about the massacre. And they're going to be like, what?
Yeah, right.
All right. So if this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark and you're curious what the show is about, we talk about legends, lore, and the supernatural. We cover anything that goes bump in the night, cryptid zoology, the occult, and how sweet Pat's beard is getting during the quarantine.
Yeah, I can't see my beard guy and can't give me a trim.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah. But and I will not cut it myself.
I refuse. Tough. I get that. Beard bros.
Yeah.
Okay, so but one of the cooler parts of the show is we actually find some weird, spooky news of the week, and we share a couple articles between us, whether it be like weird scientific advances that borderline on science fiction, weird high strangeness in major news outlets from all over the world. And I always get excited when like Pat messages me, he's like, I got some stories, because it's a bit different than my normal co-host Anthony, who gives me nothing.
Ye of little faith.
Thank you. We're going to get a little Anthony counter right in the corner of the screen there. So I'm, you know what? Oi, thank you. There's the two Anthony references. All right, Pat, let's get I want you to go first, and then I'm going to give you my take on your news story.
All right. Well, my first one is not my best one. The second one I'm going to save is my best one because, you know, suspense and all that. But did you know that A&E is now going to have a new series called Celebrity Ghost Stories?
Is that new or has that been around for a while?
It is new. I argued with Rebecca about this too. Rebecca from Ghostly as well. She said she saw it before. It is a new series. And it's going to have Ice-T on it.
As the host or as him sharing one of his stories?
He's going to be sharing one of his stories. So the host is going to be Kim Russo, which she's a psychic medium.
I'm familiar.
And she is going to take them back to spots where they've had paranormal encounters. And I guess I have something in common with Ice-T is he's a big time skeptic.
And what, he's appearing on a ghost story show?
Well, yeah, I guess what happens in the first episode, I want to say, I'm not sure if Ice-T is the first episode, but what happens is they take him back. There was something about lights flickering on and off, and he thought it was a motion detector. And then he finds out that it wasn't a motion detector. And the look on his face during this is just incredible. I mean, Ice-T, you know, he was a pimp before, but but he's afraid of ghosts now.
Hashtag Bob's take.
Yeah, right?
I remember a celebrity ghost story show on the Biography Channel. And I remember watching it many years ago, way before like the big paranormal boom of TV shows. Because now I always crack jokes that you could turn on the Travel Channel and you're going to get a paranormal show.
You will, yep.
99.9% of the time, you're either going to get a paranormal show or you're going to get Josh Gates, which is fine. I love Josh Gates. But you're going to get a paranormal show or him 99.9% of the time. And it's, I like the fact that it's booming, and I don't like the fact that it's booming. And I actually have you on here, so I get a good perspective with you. I like it because I get a chance to sit down and watch these shows and I get to further my education and I get ideas. I don't know how often you ever tune into them ever.
I watched one Ghost Adventures because my friend and your friend,
Nick
Mataragas, was on it and he was playing Gacy.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. So I watched that one.
See, I'll turn it on a lot. And I find it a good thing and a bad thing. And it's a fun you bring up because I want to pick your brain about it real fast. Is do you think the surge of these paranormal and spooky shows are a good thing for us, the people that are producing these spooky content on a much lower scale compared to what, you know, these bigger shows are? Do you think it's bringing in the good traffic for us to be able to promote our material, or are you worried about oversaturation in the market?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I think, well, and I've heard a lot of these things are pretty fake. I mean, every time they do a show, they always catch a ghost on the camera or whatever.
It wouldn't be interesting, you know, if they didn't, Pat.
Yeah, so they fake a lot of stuff, and that's pretty much a fact there. So what I think then is then when you have a show that's a little bit more real, like a Bob After Dark or a Ghostly, where we're actually trying to talk about things, they want more. They want to see these things. They want to experience these things that we can't give them because we're not fake.
That's a good place to put a pin in it. Maybe we'll host a roundtable discussion soon on Zoom where we talk about the paranormal podcasting or, you know, paranormal content on a smaller scale. Let's put a pin in that for the moment.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a good discussion. So I have one story because I know you said you had two, so I figured we would keep the series three. So my story comes to us from the famous place known as Flatwoods, Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know the story of the Flatwoods monster?
Really? No, there's a Flatwood monster?
Oh my God. You've never heard of the Flatwoods monster, the creature? It's the famous like floating fireball with the flowing like garments underneath it. You've never heard that story?
Oh, you know what? I just saw someone draw a picture of it yesterday, actually.
It's a, some people call it a cryptid. Some people call it more of an extraterrestrial. I haven't covered it yet on the show, but I will just say for a teaser about Flatwoods that it's a place of high strangeness. There is a lot of weird that's been going on there for 100+ years documented. And that whole area right around the Appalachia, right below like, you know, the old colonies and stuff, there's a lot of weird that goes on there between, you know, Virginia, West Virginia, you know, Boston, Massachusetts, DC. There's a lot of weird, spooky stuff that goes on in that neck of the woods.
There is, yep.
I'm curious why, but I digress because things have been quiet in Flatwoods for a while. In fact, 68 years later after the incident with the Flatwoods monster or Flatwoods creature, depending on what you want to call it, people have been seeing weird flocks of crows.
Seagulls.
Crows, crows, not seagulls. Weird.
Not flocks of seagulls. Okay.
And I ran so far away. But they're flocks of crows, hundreds and thousands of them showing up in Flatwoods. And they're not flying in a normal pattern. They were showing up at one centralized location. And I got a video that I'll put up on the Bob After Dark page, but it was like a tornado almost of crows just flying around the area and people just standing around and not understanding what's going on. And it's a really like Alfred Hitchcock level stuff when you see it on
the movie.
And there's no way you're faking that. I mean, that's just like a thing. I know animals act weird in certain circumstances. So maybe there was like a weird weather pattern coming in that threw them off. But the fact that that they caught the
Birdnado?
The Birdnado in Flatwoods, of all places.
Of all really places.
I'm curious to hear what you have to say about that.
I know that crows are supposed to symbolize a lot of things, and none of which are good.
No. of all the birds, if there are two birds you don't want shying around you, you don't want crows shying around you, you don't want vultures.
Yeah. So I would say that anytime I would see something like that, I would be freaked out. But, I mean, I'm sure that there's a scientific explanation for it. You know, maybe someone ran out and threw a bunch of bird seed up in the air and then ran away. I don't know. That's all I got.
That's
the good. Best I got.
Thanks for your take, Pat.
Anytime.
Right. What's your final story about?
Oh, yes, yes. Okay, so in Memphis, Tennessee, speaking of going south there a little bit,
yep.
A man who previously spent time behind bars after pleading guilty to attempted murder was arrested on Sunday in connection to a deadly shooting in North Memphis.
Okay.
On Sunday, April 5th, officers were called to the 700 block of Leith, where they found, I believe his name is Tadarius Cunningham. Now, that's a name. I want to be known as Tadarius. They found him dead. He was the one that died from multiple gunshot wounds. So what happened was this Cecil Perry guy, he calls up 911 and told the dispatcher that someone was dead that threatened someone with a gun. And they asked him more about it, and he said that it was a ghost that shot the person. Okay. So, so they pressed him more, and they're like, so what was the ghost wearing? And he said the ghost was wearing a white t-shirt and red gym shorts. So have you ever heard of a ghost shooting someone?
No. No, not at all. Okay,
so that was in the middle of the story, because there is a little bit more.
I don't know how crazier the story could get, Pat. Lay it out, man.
When the police went to the door, Cecil Perry came out with his hands up, and he was wearing a white t-shirt and red gym shorts.
Okay.
So he was the ghost that shot the person.
He was the ghost all along.
He was the ghost all along, yes.
And
he would have got away with it too if it wasn't for the
meddling kids.
Yeah.
The meddling cops. They pulled off the mask, and it was just him underneath.
It was just Cecil Perry.
You know, Pat, before we move on to the lore of the week, I'm going to give you my take there.
Yeah.
But I just want to add something out there that just popped up in my head. You would have made the perfect member of Mystery Inc.
Mystery Inc.?
The Scooby-Doo gang.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Because I would have loved that.
You would have been the perfect member. And in fact, you and Velma would have made a perfect a couple. Because there's always a scientific reason behind things, right? And there's always...
Yeah. I like Thelma. She's not bad. Every episode she's always blind by her glasses falling off.
You could have
like can't her. See anything. It's every single episode of Scooby-Doo is like that.
Oh man, I'm just saying, because for you it's just like, no, there's no such thing as, you know, pirate ghost. Just remove the mask. Call it a day.
Yep, that's it. That's it. We would have got done with the episodes probably in 15 minutes.
Pat and Velma just like, stop.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't need this big contraption. I'm just going to shoot the dude in the leg. Yeah. We're going to pull the mask off.
And we're going to let the stoner and the dog run away this time.
Welcome to Pat Joins the Scooby-Doo. That's the new Scooby-Doo crossover movie, because they put one out like every year.
Yeah.
That's
they
the
gotta
new,
do Ghostly.
It's the Ghostly podcast. It's Ghostly.
Yep.
Jeez. All right. That's a weird story, though.
I know. That he blames it on a ghost, and then he just comes out and admits it's him.
Well, did he actually admit that it was him?
I don't know. Here, I will share a picture of the gentleman those people watching.
Yes.
Can you see that?
I can. Well, that's your history of your total downloads, Pat.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, just desktop. You guys just you want to flex on me a little bit.
Well, I have to do work while I'm waiting for you.
So this
is the man that did it. You notice the white shirt too.
Yeah, and the ghost was wearing a white shirt and red shorts.
He came to the door wearing a white t-shirt and red shorts with his hands in the air.
I was the ghost. Yeah. A ghost shot him. I don't want to laugh because maybe there's some sort of mental illness going on there.
I know.
Or some sort of abuse issues, like drug abuse or something. But man, I give that guy a lot of credit for shooting him, but for the excuse. Ghost did it.
Ghost did it.
Described exactly what I'm wearing.
Yeah, so this is going to be my explanation for any ghost that you bring up in this episode, that it's actually Cecil Perry.
Well, we're not talking about ghosts this episode, Pat.
Oh, well, what are we talking about, Bob?
All right, Pat, you ready to dive right into the lore of the week?
I'm a little worried because I saw a picture on Facebook that you posted and it creeped me out.
Pat, what do you know about kids?
They're adorable. They like ice cream. That's pretty much it. That's what I know about kids.
Good job, Pat. That was the best explanation ever. There's something about childhood innocence that has like a certain layer of like protection over it, right? So when you think about kids and you think about like what kids are up to, what kids are doing, you don't really like to think of them in a negative light.
Never.
Which is why the movie Children of the Corn always freaked me out when I was, you know, a teenager going into adulthood. It didn't freak me out as a kid because I was a kid. But as an adult, that always freaked me out. I'm like, dang, dude, what, these kids are just killing adults. That sucks.
And never seen the movie, actually.
Never? Okay. Well, okay.
Sorry,
so the quick premise
Lost Boys. What? With Corey Haim and Corey Feldman.
You can relate to that in a second with the Lore of the Week because it ties into it. But the same idea with Lost Boys, right? You don't want to think about adolescence and childhood in a negative light. And I was trying, when I was researching my episode this week, I wanted to talk about the glowing children, but that's more of a Bob After Dark, like spooky chats, because you can nail out that bit of lore in like 20 minutes if you really wanted to. I'm not about to pad the show for 45 minutes to try to make it sound good. But in the flip side of the glowing children, which turned out to actually be a pretty decent story, I found a case of something that's been stuck in my head for a very long time, and it hasn't popped back up till I started doing the research for the show. And that is the concept of a black-eyed child, or the black-eyed children, or the BKC, or the BEC in paranormal groups.
Are they related to the black-eyed peas at all?
I was waiting to see if you were going to crack that joke.
Of course.
That was low-hanging fruit, Pat.
It was, yeah. I get better as the episode goes on, trust me. So,
oh, do you have notes?
I do, yeah. I have Black Eyed Peas songs then to reference the whole time. So, Fergie, I have to talk about Fergie a little bit, you know.
Is Fergie a believer or a skeptic?
I would imagine that she's a believer. I don't know. Just a vibe I get from her.
Well, the concept of the Black Eyed Children was a story I heard, geez, in the early 2000s. And I just left it in the back of my mind. I'm like, well, that guy had to have just been making it up, right? But as I was doing my research for this episode, there's been cases of these black-eyed children all over the world, and how they interact always has a very common theme. much like how we talked about The Vanishing Hitchhiker last week, and we talked about a little bit about the common themes between The Vanishing Hitchhiker, this isn't so much a ghostly presence as it is just an anomaly. And what exactly is the Black Eyed Children? The Black Eyed Children, or also known as the Black Eyed Kids, are strange entities that took the form of kids between the ages of 6 and 16 years old. They would appear to adults whom are alone. They would ask the adults for simple favors like a phone call, a ride home, something to eat, or to use their bathroom. Everyone who came in contact with these entities always had an overwhelming, deep-rooted sense of fear around them. And people try to argue to figure out what exactly these black-eyed children are. Some people would argue that they're aliens or extraterrestrials. Some say they're vampires, which comes back to the Lost Boys reference, which we're going to get to in a second.
Yeah.
And our old pal, the demons. The old pals are the demons, because it always goes back to demons.
It always does, yeah. I mean, you had that weird Vanishing Hitchhiker story from last week with the guy that obviously was sitting next to a demon in his truck.
Wow, did you just admit to something paranormal, Pat?
You have no proof of that.
I'll go back. It's going to be the one section I highlight.
There you go.
So the first case of these things that were like majorly reported come from a guy named by the name of Brian Bethel on his blog that he wrote way back in 1998.
Oh, back in the day.
I didn't even know blogs were really like a thing. I knew of like AOL homepages, but I didn't know the term blog was really around. To understand the story a little bit better, I have some notes about Brian. I want to talk about him as a person, because the more you understand about him, the crazier this story gets. So Brian by trade is a professional writer and journalist. Mm-hmm. He claims that before this event, he was not a believer in paranormal events. In fact, he was a hardcore skeptic.
Ooh, hardcore. Ooh. Not even hardcore. I'm skeptic light.
Skeptic light. I'm glad you took that term, by the way.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
And before we begin, I just want to point out that Brian goes on record by saying he has no reason to lie about this encounter. He was an acclaimed writer. He knew that retelling this event would kill his career, and he got a lot of backlash for sharing this encounter, which makes total sense. Most people, when they come across paranormal encounters, they don't like to share them very often, or if they do, they're not like working in the private sector or anything like that, or you're not, you know, held to a certain light. If a certain person would come out and say that they saw whatever, even in the case of like the Loveland frog, when the cop saw the frog, he actually got fired for it.
Yeah, so, same with Resurrection Mary too.
Exactly. So I mean, there's a certain, I don't want to call it a stigma, but a certain like stigma, I guess, about sharing paranormal encounters if you have a certain job title or status. So he definitely risked a lot by even coming up with this story. And he even goes on record again saying, even to this day, I've never made a dime off the Black Eyed Children story. So I wanted to preface that before we go into it at all. And that is because I wanted to give the skeptic a chance to chew at something while I'm reading my story. So okay. The story goes that on the night of January 16th, 1998, Brian left his apartment in Abilene, Texas to pay his online bill. He had to leave like it at an overnight Dropbox.
Okay.
On his way to pay the bill, he had to write the check, so he pulled into a movie theater, like right in front of the movie theater parking lot, so he can use the lights of the marquee to illuminate his check so he could see what he's writing. When all of a sudden, as he was writing, he heard a knock on his car window. Looking up, he sees two boys he believed to be between the ages of 10 and 14. He describes them as the following. Boy one, or as he calls them, the spokesperson, was a slightly taller than the other boy, wearing a pullover hoodie and jeans. He had medium curly brown hair, and he was very confident. The second boy had pale skin and looked very nervous, had a pale orange complexion, and he stood with his hands in his pocket. The spokesperson, when he rolled down the window in a little bit, because you got to be wary about certain things because he thought that they were going to be either hitting him up for money or robbing him, he rolled down the window a little bit and he said, "What can I do for you, boys?" And they said they were trying to see the movie Mortal Kombat, which dates this story quite a bit.
That was a classic.
They left their money at home, and they wanted just a quick ride to go home and pick up the money. Now, during this time, Brian was like, "Well, if I'm going to drive them home, by the time they come back, the movie's going to be like nearly over," because they were going to see, I believe, like a 9 o'clock showing, and it was already going on 9 o'clock when they stopped and asked them. So he thought something was really strange by the time he would drive them back and forth. But what was even weirder was he said he didn't get a chance to argue anything with them because they seemed to know the responses before he even asked. So he said that he was trying to come up with an excuse just to kind of get him away. And he would say, I don't have time to drive too far. Before he can even get those words out, the kid said that they didn't live too far. And then he'd be like, "Hey, I don't trust anybody just coming in my car." And they're like, "No, don't worry. We won't hurt you." So every time he came up with an excuse in his head in rapid succession, the kid was extremely adamant about letting him in his car.
Interesting.
So at that point, he said he started to feel uneasy. He looked down at his alarm clock to check the time in his car. Not alarm clock, I'm sorry, the car radio clock.
Yeah.
He looked down at that, and then he said he caught a glimpse of the movie theater marquee lighting as it hit them in the face, and he noticed their eyes weren't there, and they were replaced by big black spheres. And at that point, he was just noping out of there. He rolled up the window. He's like, "Oh, sorry, I can't help you." He rolled up the window, and as he was trying to drive off, he said the boy started pounding on the car, and it was actually starting to shake it. And the boy was screaming, "Come on, mister, I can't get into your car unless you give me permission."
Okay. Interesting.
Which dives back into the whole concept of vampire lore, which, you don't let him, let anybody in. And that was the end of the story with Brian. He pulled off, and in the rearview mirror, he said he saw them almost disappear into a fog or a mist.
Of course, always the foggy, misty stuff. Yeah.
Good job, Pat. I appreciate the. So that's the story of Brian. And I got a couple other encounters I wanted to go over. But what's your thoughts on the Brian story?
So my thought is he is an author, and even if indirectly or directly he didn't make any money off of that, it could have made paranormal people more interested in the books that he writes, and it definitely could sell to a different crowd. So indirectly, he did probably make money, unless he was just not a very good writer. An author is someone that would come up with a tale like that and tell it in so many details as that. Also, these kids going to see the movie, I used to work for a haunted house, and there are contact lenses you can get to black out your eyes.
But the entire eye socket to be a black hole.
Yeah. I mean, you can do that. It's just, it's not comfortable, but you can get that.
It's not the eyeball itself. He said
the whole socket.
Yep. That entire area is just blacked out.
Yeah. Where there would be white, or for me, blue, it would all be black.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me these 8-year-old kids were going out wearing these to go see Mortal Kombat?
Wait. You just made them 8 years old. They were between 10 and 14.
I'm sorry. I just made up okay. A couple 10-year-olds. Are they going to be, I'm sorry, 2-year difference. Pardon me.
Hey, it's a big difference.
10 years old. A couple 10-year-olds got themselves some blackout contacts to go see Mortal Kombat.
That's what I would wear when I go to see Mortal Kombat. I mean, of course. No, I mean, I think he made it up. I think I think this was an author trying to sell material, and he had a blog. Blogs made money on advertising. So they made money by you going to the site and seeing an ad on their page. I was a blogger at one time. Actually, you would have loved the name of my blog. It was called Fear Alone. But I was a blogger, and that's how you would make money doing it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I have a few other stories I would like to discuss.
Okay.
My second one is the story is called The Black-Eyed Beings of Ashe. Before we begin, I am not French. I do not speak French. I have never been to the country of France.
So have you ever had fries?
It is an American dish.
Freedom fries.
Have you ever had French toast?
I have.
That's the same idea.
I actually ate at the French restaurant in Disney in Epcot Center.
I've never been to Epcot.
Oh, why? What's the matter with you?
I went to Disney back in September. I went to the Magic Kingdom and the Disney Springs.
Epcot is the best park of the
mall. I'll tell you what, when we start our next podcast about traveling, we'll call it Travelly or Bob Deere Travel.
Sure.
that'll be our travel podcast. We'll talk more about that. But the story is called The Black-Eyed Beings of Ashe. The year was 1974, and a report is made to the National Investigations Committee of Aerial Phenomena, or the NICAP. Two men, only known as Alan and Patrick, were making a leisurely drive through a small village. Not you. You would have just been like, whatever. And wait till the story continues. It wasn't you.
Oh, okay.
They were making a leisurely drive through a small village, enjoying an autumn weather. It was around 3 p.m. while they took a different route and decided to take a more rural drive. They stopped dead in their tracks when they saw a group of five 4 foot tall entities in the courtyard of a house. They were wearing really outdated robes, and upon seeing their faces, their noses were turned inwards and their eyes were black spheres. They drove off and told officials at a neighboring town, who said they have seen the same things wandering the streets. What scared Patrick the driver was that one of the entities turned to them and was motioning in a quick procession, "Please come here." The officials told Patrick and Alan that if they would have stopped, chances are no one would have heard from them again, because there's been several missing persons cases in that area since they moved into town.
Hmm. Yeah, my first thing about that, after hearing that, is that nobody ever goes up to these things. They're always too scared, and they always, drive back and then tell the story.
If you saw a guy, or not even a guy or a girl, a little child with straight black eyes, not black eyes, not like punched, but like missing eye sockets, and they're motioning and beckoning for you to go, would you go, Pat?
Yes.
You would go and investigate the black-eyed children.
Yep.
Good for you. I mean, yeah. I would too, but that's...
Pat's but like, you have your proton pack that you could bring.
Pat, that's just a prop.
What? You're killing me here. You're ruining everything for me.
Says the skeptic.
Yeah.
So anyway, people don't stop and investigate. They drive off and tell the officials. I want to hear the rest of your take there.
Well, I mean, they just never do. It's like they...
Can you blame them for being afraid?
Yes, I can, because it stops science. Science actually comes in once you're afraid, and then you go, okay, I want to see what this really is. And it might have just been, a bunch of, I don't know. It doesn't sound like the same story as the first one. These don't sound like the same people. They're wearing outdated robes. There was nothing about that with the Mortal Kombat kids. And they have inward noses, which really creeps me out. But I would definitely stop and check them out.
All right. My next encounter comes to us from the United States. It's a pretty cool place. A 16-year-old boy by the name of Harold. Harold lived in a very small town, small enough to where he knew pretty much everybody there, and everybody knew him. He knew everybody, especially the adolescents and kids, because they all grew up together, so they all know one another. And I know exactly how that feels because I grew up in a very small town. So I grew up in a very similar-esque situation as Harold here. But a 16-year-old boy from the U.S. named Harold was walking home from a friend's house when he saw a boy leaning on a fence in a little bit away from him. He thought it was really strange because, again, Harold was from a really small town and he knew everybody. And Harold, being the nice guy that he was, thought maybe a new family moved in and he was going to go introduce himself to this kid. And Harold's like, "Hey, how's it going?" And the kid just kind of blew him off and wasn't very talkative. And Harold's like, "Okay." And so he asked him again, "Hey, how you doing?" And eventually he thought maybe something was wrong. He said, "Hey, is everything okay?" And the boy eventually turned to him and said, "I want to go to your house. Take me to your house." And Harold's like, "What?" So the boy repeated, "Take me to your house, man. I want to go to your house." And Harold replied, "No." And as Harold was focusing in on the boy, he noticed that he didn't have normal eyes. They were black eye sockets. Harold freaked out at that moment, was ready to hightail it out of there. And he told Harold not to run, and he was going to walk with him to his house. Harold was a very fast runner and decided to sprint off. And when he turned around, he didn't see the boy giving chase after him. He did let out a loud animalistic howl, sounding more kind of like a bobcat. When Harold reached to his home, he ran into his house, startling his parents. He told the story, and his mother called the local clergy to their house to bless Harold, thinking it was the devil in disguise. I want to give a quick shout out to Jim Harold, the paranormal podcast guy, for reporting on that last encounter.
That's interesting, because it actually answers a question that I've been thinking the whole time that I didn't ask, is that are these regular people that are being like possessed, or are they people that no one knows? So are they always like this, or are they possessed, or, and this sounds like they are different, you know?
Well, go on.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that it's a very strange, and we don't have a story yet about what happens if you let them into proximity of you.
Yet. So that's the next one, I'm assuming.
It actually might be, but we won't know, because for the moment, we're going to take a quick ad break.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez. Oh.
And we're back.
Wow, I feel refreshed.
Pat, how would you do during the break?
I read a novel.
Oh, what'd you read?
War and Peace.
Oh, what'd you think?
Too much war, not enough peace.
Mm. Is that the one that starts? No, wait, never mind. That's A Tale of Two Cities. I was going to say, is that the one that starts the best of times, the worst of times?
Yeah.
That's Tale of Two Cities, right?
It is, yes.
I was totally correct on that.
Yeah.
So, go on.
So, yeah, my thought is this doesn't sound at all ghostly or spirits or demons. Yeah, do we ring a bell or something?
Every time, every time you get to use the word ghostly.
An angel gains its wings.
Yes.
So not very often then. but yeah, so I'm wondering if it's more alien.
It is very possible, and that's one of the three possible theories. And that's the one I more or less lean towards. But let's move on to the one encounter that has been reported of them getting within proximity of somebody else.
All right.
So I found a story where a couple let the kids actually into their home. Story goes that in a small snowy town in Vermont, an elderly couple heard three loud knocks on their door. Remember that number three, because I'm going to bring it up later. When they opened the door, they saw two kids, one boy, one girl. They said that they were stranded out in bad weather and their parents were on their way to pick them up. And they were wanting to come inside to get out of the bad weather. The elderly couple, feeling bad for the two kids, let them into the home. The wife went to go make them hot cocoa, and the husband was sitting down in a chair, not really paying too much attention to them, just to let them sit on the couch and relax. Eventually, he started asking, you know, simple questions like, how old are you? What's your names? You know, cordial stuff. And the kids weren't responding to him at all. It was really, really strange. And when the wife came back in, she noticed something was off. She couldn't put her finger on it. And the boy and girl asked in unison, which is horrifyingly scary to think about, if they can go use the restroom.
Oh, okay.
And the wife said, sure, the restroom's down the hall. And she got a good look at their faces. And can you guess what their faces looked like, Pat?
I'm assuming that they had bright blue eyes.
Ooh, false. You're close.
Oh, man.
No eyes. Big black holes where the eyes would be.
You know, maybe they are under the influence of LSD.
The kids?
Yeah.
We'll get to your theory about that shortly.
Okay. All right.
So the wife was definitely shook up by this, but didn't want to point it out. They left and she, you know, told the husband, she's like, what's wrong with their eyes? The husband looks at her and his nose starts bleeding profusely.
Wow.
Put a pin in that.
Is he like 11?
What? I get bloody noses. And I'm
no, 11 from Stranger Things.
Oh, Stranger Things. I thought you meant like only 11-year-olds get nosebleeds.
No.
Like, I get nosebleeds. I'm not 11. But yeah, totally like 11 from Stranger Things. And the wife's like, I'm going to go find out what's going on. I guess that's there you go. There's your logic person that's going to go investigate.
Finally,
you get a skeptic friend of yours that's going to go investigate what's going
now
on.
Now we're going to get some answers. I'm waiting
and
for this.
The answers are horrifying, Pat, because as she approached them in the hall, a strange scene from The Shining was waiting for her. She saw the two kids at the end of the hall holding hands, staring at her and chanting, our parents are here. Our parents are here. Our parents are here. And the light started flickering in the house. And wow. They took off running on either side of her and they ran out of the house. And she looked outside and she saw an old Coupe de Ville with two shadowy figures standing on either side. And the woman kind of gave like a little soft wave, and the shadowy figures didn't wave back.
That's never good.
For the next week, weird things started to happen around the old couple's home. And I just want to point out a quick trigger warning for anybody out there that needs to step away or fast forward about 20 seconds into the future.
All right.
Trigger warning, cat death. So they had four cats in the home, then three out of the four went mysteriously missing.
Oh, no. With
the fourth cat found in a pool of its own blood.
I'm not crying, by the way.
I mean, you can. It's okay to cry, Pat. The husband kept having severe nosebleeds and finally decided to go see the doctor. And upon seeing the doctor, He got the prognosis that he had advanced
COVID-19.
Advanced skin cancer.
Oh, why would that make his nose bleed?
I don't know.
Okay.
But apparently it was causing his nose to bleed.
Okay.
What's your story on that story? What's your take on that story, Pat?
Well,
are you proud of the old woman for going and investigating?
I am. I'm really proud of her. But I think her husband needs to wear more sunscreen when he goes out. Mm. Hopefully the skin cancer was basal cell or squamous cell and not malignant melanoma, which is a little bit more fatal. But yeah, a lot of old people get skin cancer. A lot of young people get skin cancer. That's not weird. Cats go missing sometimes. I'm assuming that they found the cats, and
there's no word about the three out of the four.
Only
the fourth one that was found dead.
Well, that's really sad. I got nothing, man.
Are you proud of the old woman for going and investigating?
I am. I am super proud. Finally, somebody did something. You know, I'm always like, when someone sees a ghost like around the corner, they always go the other way. And it's like, well, why? I need proof of this. You need to go get me some proof. So I have no way of knowing what this story is about and these black-eyed pea children and stuff.
I'm proud of you for not making more jokes about the black eyed peas than that one time. I'm very proud of you.
Well, I haven't pulled up on Apple Music. I was going to use all of their stuff.
Oh yeah, thanks. That would definitely get me copyright stricken.
not if I just joke about them.
That's fair, isn't it? That's protected under copyright law, I think. Parodies.
Yeah.
Now, if I was more quick on my feet about improv music comedy, I would be able to, like, you know, come up with a quip about one of the black.
That you got a feeling?
Yes. I got a feeling that tonight I'm going to have a knock on my door from a black-eyed child.
Wow, that was pretty impressive, man.
Maybe
you're in the wrong career, Bob.
Yeah, let me just dive into improv musicals.
Yeah, I think so.
So news reports became more and more apparent about these black-eyed children sightings, even landing articles in a 2014 issue of the Daily Star in UK, which is a really popular periodical that they have out there that they read. And they able to get 4 pages of encounters in this periodical, which is insane to me.
How many pictures do they have of these things?
Several. There's a lot of pictures out there of the black-eyed children. Yeah.
Do they look real?
Some do. Some are obviously faked. Mm. Now, my question is, what are they? Now, usually when I'm able to lay out lore of the week, I'm able to give like this really cool story description before I start about, oh, this started this time. But it's really weird because outside of our friend our writer friend earlier that was talking about his, you know, blog post, people think he was the first one to really report on these black-eyed children encounters. But Brian even goes on record and says that he did a lot of research after this happened. And people have been reporting these encounters for hundreds of years.
Yeah, there was the one in 1974. So yeah, that would predate Mortal Kombat.
What are the black-eyed children? I'm ruling out ghost 100%. Yeah. Now these things are definitely inspired in pop culture too. They've inspired several movies. If you've ever seen Lost Boys, one of my favorite movies of all time,
with
Lost
Corey Haim and Corey Feldman.
Yes, and Kiefer Sutherland's first on-screen performance.
Yeah. It was brilliant.
Joel Schumacher actually wrote the movie kind of loosely based on the Black Eyed Children, because and they also had that movie Children of the Damned about the kid vampires, loosely based. I'm not saying it's 100% based.
Well, by the way, I have to say Lost Boys 1, good movie. Second Lost Boy movie, not so good.
Lost Boys 3 is fantastic.
Is that the one after Corey Haim was dead?
Yes, and it's so heartbreaking.
I got to see it.
It is heart-wrenching. I love the Lost Boys trilogy, but I
don't. So do I.
We'll move that for movie-ly talk.
Movie-ly. Yeah.
Movie-ly. So they base these concepts on these childhood vampires loosely based on the Black-Eyed Children mythos. And the Brian story is the only one that I know of where it blatantly says, I can't enter unless you give me permission. Now, I can easily say that's also on the demonic side of things, but it's really interesting that people automatically just jump to vampires.
Yeah.
What's your...
Well, it's because of the black eyes, too. I mean, you could picture a vampire with black eyes, although, you know, I would think that they would have red eyes before black eyes, but
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. So I really thinking if these things did exist, which I highly doubt, but if they did really exist, I'm going to say alien.
I'm
because demonic possession just doesn't do it, because they're really not doing anything. They're really not doing that much harm.
I'm going to go with extraterrestrials myself.
There you go.
To some extent, if not extraterrestrial, extra dimensional.
Okay.
It's really weird that most of the stories involve adults and older adolescents. I could not find one encounter where these kids were interacting with other kids.
Well, and the one with
Harold was an older adolescent, though. He was 16.
Oh, okay. That's right.
So, I mean, that's not like there's no stories or encounters of like a 10-year-old little kid playing with a 10-year-old, you know, supposedly 10-year-old black-eyed child. And I think I have an explanation for that.
Oh, I can't wait.
Is it possible that these things are so hyper-intelligent that they know that kids aren't going to get anything done, so they're trying to get the adults to get them to do things?
But even the old lady that investigated, what did they really get done? Nothing. They Nothing. Didn't do anything.
But
they
the
just
house was...
stood around holding hands.
And Pat, tell me how you really feel. How do you explain the weird cursed atmosphere for the week then after they left?
Well, if you believe you're cursed, then you're cursed. I mean, and obviously you see black eyed children, you're going to think that you're cursed by something.
I mean, that's,
there was
that's
a medical reason for the old man having a nosebleed, even though I've never heard of that as a symptom of skin cancer, but
not
still.
Skin cancer, but brain deficiencies. So I am not a fan of needing to quote somebody else's paranormal experience that's on a professional level, I guess. But I want to talk a little bit about Zach Bagans.
Oh, I've heard of him.
Zach Bagans is the world famous paranormal investigator. He has a show. He has a museum. He is the king of the paranormal world. Zach has a movie on Amazon that you can watch right now called Hell House.
I've heard of it.
It's actually, for what it's worth, I actually really enjoyed the movie because I grew up probably 20 minutes away from that house. I actually investigated, I use in loose quotes, investigated the house that Zach was at. And I digress, it's a story for another time. But Zach in the movie, towards the end, had an encounter with what he believes was a demonic entity, and he ended up developing amblyopia right after the case. Now, what is amblyopia? His nerves and muscles in his eyes started going a little haywire, and he needed to wear prism in his glasses, and, you know, not at a young age like you would to wear those types of things. He developed where he ended up needing to wear these prism glasses in order to fix his double vision. Now, there are logical explanations of what could have happened. The Hell House story is an episode for another time. But that is one case where I know of where being in contact with something supposedly caused somebody to have a health problem.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the same case here where physical embodiment of demon comes and they cause this old man to catch skin cancer. It's really strange that his nosebleeds would have started right when these kids started visiting, and then a week later he was diagnosed with advanced signs and of serious skin cancer. I think that's really strange. You can't say it's not strange.
No, definitely not.
Now, there are other characteristics of these things, because normally I don't like to leave out ways you could defend yourself against them, but I really don't know how you defend yourself against these things, because the lore, there's not a whole lot of lore on what a black-eyed child is. I can give you some characteristics of what they are. They always seem to be a kid. There's, you know, never over the age of like 15, 16 years old, and they always seem to be very persistent when they ask things, and they know how to play to adults' sympathies.
Yeah. By the way, I just looked it up, and nosebleeds are common with people that have cancer in general, because the cancer depletes their platelet count, and that can cause nosebleeds.
Thank you for looking that up, Pat.
No problem. I wanted to know. I was curious. I like medical stuff, so. The age, yeah, that definitely says something to me. It says that, you know, there is some kind of correlation to why these younger kids are having this kind of experience. And I don't have any idea why, because only one person chased one down, and that was an old grandma that couldn't do anything but wave to them. I would have tackled them.
You would have tackled some kids to the ground.
Hey, well, if they have black eyes, I would probably call up Cecil Perry and have him come over and help me tackle him down.
Oh, my God, I'm, like, crying. I could just see Pat trying to tackle, like, two little kids to the ground. Get out of here, you demons. Go on, yeah. Get.
And get off my lawn.
I'm trying to think, like, in my notes, I left a big question mark saying, what do I believe? And it's a good question, because I'm not exactly sure where I'm leaning towards. Because the other thing you have to keep in mind is, because these stories really became, like, super popular 2012, 2014, there's definitely a level of mass hysteria that goes into these stories. Does every encounter turn out to be true? Absolutely not. I am a firm believer that there is a certain level to mass hysteria, and I wanted to relate a story of mass hysteria to another thing that we talk about frequently on the show, and that is the Mobile, Alabama leprechaun story. That
yes.
is the perfect tale. Yes. That is a perfect case study. Even if you're a skeptic or believer or whatever, that is a perfect case study of how mass hysteria can really affect a community of people, right? So yeah. If a community of people are reading these magazines and reading in major news articles and stuff about people are seeing these black-eyed children, don't you think you would want, like, a piece of that kind of, like, pie? You would really want that experience and really want to, like, also see one? Or maybe you're you might be a little bit more hyper aware of, like, your situations too. And, you know, you're going to see things that aren't actually there.
Well, we're also dealing with people that went out and bought off all the toilet paper when they found out about the coronavirus and everything. So we're dealing with people that respond to fear in a certain way. And that's definitely what this is that they fear the unknown.
Do you think, in your honest opinion, do you think it's possible that these things exist even on an extraterrestrial level? Because I know that you're more inept to believe an extraterrestrial thing versus paranormal.
I am, but I really don't believe that there is any alien life force here that's bigger than bigger than a one cell, you know, creature or okay. anything like that. So, I mean, I know I would find it very hard to believe that it's even that, but if I had to pick something, that's the one thing I that stands out to me, the black eyes at least.
I'm going to buy in that this thing is absolutely real. I don't think that they're widespread instances. I think that the couple of cases that I did read about, I think what happened to our writer friend, I think Brian, I think that actually did happen to him. And I don't believe the motorist story so much because there's a lot of I have my theories about that, but it's not that important because it could have been a group of like thieves or something that were there, you know, dolling themselves up to look like theater performers or whatever. And they were motioning people to come over to them so they could rob and kill them. But the story of Harold really stands out to me too. I mean, I think these are extremely isolated incidents. And I didn't find one story of this happening in like a major metropolitan area either. I couldn't find encounters of black-eyed children in like, let's say, downtown Chicago. So I think that if they are happening, which I believe they are, they're very isolated to rural areas. And I really believe that they're picking their targets out because of maybe susceptibility, maybe because they think they're an easy target, maybe they'll let them in. That's the thing. Now, the reason why I don't lean more towards the extraterrestrial and I go towards the demonic side of things because of Zach Bagans' supposed encounter about his eye problems he was having since was the demonic thing. And the fact that the story had to mention that the grandmother remembered that they were knocking in threes. Usually when you have a knock on the door, you may go something. I know when I knock on the door, it's something like rat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat. So maybe like five or six knocks. The fact that they knocked in three and it had to be brought up in the encounter when the old woman shared it really stands out to me. And maybe it's because I'm more hyper aware, but when you ultimately have knocks of three, that's typically a demonic thing because they're knocking. The story goes at least that they're knocking the Trinity, right? So yeah. Is it possible that these black-eyed children are demonic in nature? Sure. I mean, that's probably what I'm leaning towards more than extraterrestrial. I feel like if they're extraterrestrial, they don't need permission to come inside. They can just enter. And do I think that there's some form of vampire? Probably not. That's like the one bit of the explanation I couldn't really like. I couldn't buy into it too much. I guess that's where I draw my line.
But do you believe in vampires at all in general?
I believe that vampires exist on a, I guess you can say like a psychic level.
Like energy, like energy vampire. Yeah.
There are people I've been in my life with that I've encountered that just, you know, drain you, and they're not necessarily being bad people. I don't think people are running around with fangs hunting down. Why? Actually, yes, but that's a story for another day. Do I think that vampirism is an actual thing? Sure. And I think that there are people out there that identify as vampires. And I know there's vampire cults and covens, but the straight like Dracula type of I'm turning into a bat and flying around and, you know.
I mean, there are people with like Von Wilburn's disease, yes, and stuff. Mm-hmm. And and there are people actually that this is like a sick psychological thing, but it sure makes people want to drink blood.
Yeah, no. I did an episode on vampires that was my first episode of Bob After Dark, fun fact.
Was it really? Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, to me, scientifically, there could be a case for a vampire
running around with the black-eyed children are running around and they need the permission to enter homes and stuff.
I don't know if there could be that many vampires. Like, there could be a single vampire. I don't know that they could make you a vampire too.
I think it's a psychological thing. When I say that there's people that identify as vampires, I've had contact with the local like Chicago Vampire Coven.
Yeah, they're very cool people. I actually, yeah.
Small world.
No, I mean, I have no problem with what they do and what they say.
But as far as the Black Eyed Children, they're not the same type of entity. I would buy into the fact that maybe it's demonic, and I'm not going to say it's demonic possession. There is a story going around about the Black Eyed Children that a demonologist theorized that they were the actual children of Lucifer.
And okay.
That's the theory he had. I don't know how much I buy into that idea either, but I would buy into that maybe they're not demonic possessions, but physical embodiments of demons.
Hmm.
You don't see that very often, and maybe they can't mimic eyes for some reason. I don't claim to know everything about these types of things, but I do have an idea. Maybe they can't mimic eyes for some reason, and that's the reason why they have the black eyes.
Or maybe that's the last part of them that does mimic, and these people are catching them before they fully
that's possible.
Morph into
I appreciate
whatever.
Your paranormal idea there, Pat.
I have no idea. I'm just throwing stuff out there that comes
theory.
To my mind. Yeah,
it's a really good theory. The last thing is they're taking form of something that you're more inept to help out. If a demon made an appearance at your house, right, and they were an average, let's say, door-to-door vacuum salesman, they're probably not going to get very far with you, right?
Yeah, but I mean, what do they want, though? I mean, like with the old lady, they just spooked her. And with the Mortal Kombat guy, they just wanted money, just like every kid.
But the guy didn't let him in his car to find out what would happen.
Okay. So you think and they might have killed him or something.
They might have or whatever. We don't know. He didn't let him in.
Or drink his blood.
Or drink his blood, I guess. The other idea would be that the other idea is with the older couple, like, they let them in, and I mean, there was bad things that happened to them after the fact, but not during that time. Maybe the old woman spooked them. I don't know, but that's all I have on the Black Eyed Children, Pat. I appreciate your input.
Very interesting. Yeah.
Do you have? I gotta ask you because you're here and you're the host of Ghostly, and you always get to rate the things.
Oh.
Existence of Black Eyed Children. 10 being. Oh, they're here, and 0 being no, they're not here at all.
The existence of Black Eyed Children being something paranormal, I'm going to give that a 0.
Okay.
The idea that there could be people, there are children that have black eye sockets, maybe that's a 3, a 2 or 3, but a 0 for paranormal.
What about extraterrestrial?
0.
Okay.
Sorry, man.
No, you're okay. That's fine. I am sitting at a firm 8.
For all of the above, for paranormal, for
extraterrestrial, I think there's things out there. It's strange that these encounters have been happening for a very long time. Now, if they were in just a weird span of like during the time of like 1998 to when Brian wrote about it for the first time on his blog to about the year 2012, when those articles came out and that was it, I'd be like, no, that's, this is not right. But the fact that we have encounters with these things dating back, hundreds of years, that's where you have to kind of be like, all right, there's got to be something more to this. What is that something more? I don't know.
But why don't they ever capture these things?
What do you, Pat? Do you want them to throw them in a ghost trap?
Why? Yes. Why? Do you have one they could use?
do you have one
you could throw out or something?
I do have several of those props, Pat. But they're props.
Oh my God! You're killing me.
But like, how do you capture them? Like, what do you have?
You go up to them, you hold them, and you call the police. The police put cuffs on them. You take them to jail, and then you scientifically study them to find out what the heck is going on. Nobody ever does this with anything, though. That's the whole point,
I think
nobody ever captures any supernatural things, anything.
I think it's easier said than done, Pat. I will argue in certain circumstances that, yeah, you should have probably been able to catch certain things by now, like certain Bigfoot sightings. There is no reason you shouldn't have captured them by now.
Yeah.
I believe in Bigfoot, by the way, but that's a story for another time. I guess I don't really know. In this case, like, if I saw them, the first thing I'm not thinking about is, okay, let me call the cops. I'm like, oh, what the hell is this thing? That's what's going through my head, man.
Yeah, well, my first instinct would be to keep them around me as long as I possibly can to watch and observe them. Now, during that, then I would probably think, you know what, maybe I should call the police. Maybe some scientists need to look into this. Who knows? It could be the cure for cancer, these black eyes.
Well, I challenge your idea here, because fear is an interesting emotion that you can act on. But I will agree to disagree, Pat.
All right. Sounds fair.
Okay, so before we go, I want you to plug all of the things. Plug your stuffs, please.
Plug my stuffs. Oh my God, there's so much stuff going on. So I do Ghostly Podcast, as you can tell from the background if you're watching this live. I do a podcast on The Walking Dead. You could find that on The Walking Dead DVMPE if you do a search for it, where we don't just do like a episode overview. We keep it short and simple. We do like a couple of what's and woes of the episode. I am part of Memoriam Development. I go on Freak of the Week a lot. I go on Mr. Wiggly's Moist and Happy Friendship Garden a lot. I go on Memoriam Incubator a lot. I go on another one that we can't even say on here because the title is explicit. But I do all kinds of things. I keep myself pretty busy. My favorite is coming on Bob After Dark.
Oh, thank you, Pat. I appreciate that. And during these trying times, it's really nice to have you. And I can't thank you enough for making the podcast, helping work it. You know, it's tough right now and I miss my normal co-host, but I really appreciate having you. And it's really cool to have this different perspective, because usually Bob After Dark is a straight believer show. We may dive into skepticism a little bit, even though I fully welcome skepticism to Bob After Dark. I think we need that. But it's really cool to have you around, because when I'm doing my research, I have to research, now that I have you on the show temporarily, I have to research things and present them skeptical and the actual story. So I appreciate that. It's a lot of fun.
Well, you always have to find ways to beat me and ambush me. And I didn't even know what the episode was about until we started talking.
So. No, I said it last night. I said, hey, we're talking about black-eyed children.
Bob, I was half asleep when I was watching. I will be honest with you on that. I'm a very tired man. I'm old.
I know
you're really old.
It's okay, though. You still do a very good job.
All right.
All right. Do you have any closing words for the audience?
Stay fresh, cheese bags.
All right, children of the night, to my mom and dad, I want to wish you guys sweet dreams. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Remember, folks, not all who wander are lost. And the most important rule I can teach you on Bob After Dark is, as above, so below. Good night, everybody.
Memoriam Development.